Well, brethren, we are now at the Feast of Trumpets, and what a wonderful meaning there is to this day, the return of Jesus Christ to earth. As we heard in the sermonette message, the trumpet is a sound of an alarm. It's a sound of war, an impending war, an impending danger, but it's also a sound of celebration. This is a day of celebration for us. And on the day of the Feast of Trumpets, it will be both a sound of war and a sound of celebration, of marvelous rejoicing. There's a scripture I'd like you to turn to in Joel chapter 2, to open our Bibles today into Joel chapter 2. This vividly describes what this day is going to be like. Joel chapter 2, you have Daniel, Hosea, and then Joel. And if you look at verse 2, or chapter 2, a couple of verses there, this describes what is happening today. Joel 2 and verse 1 says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, and let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness." That really describes vividly what we're celebrating today and what this day is picturing. Zion, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion. And we know that Zion is the place of God's dwelling. It is the church of God. You'll recall, I think, in Hebrews chapter 12, where Paul the Apostle spoke of the church, saying, "You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn." That's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. This is Zion, the church of God, and the trumpet is sounding now in Zion. The church is hearing that message of warning, and we're sounding the warning to the world as we preach the gospel. Why does one sound an alarm? Well, we heard why in the sermonette, that we sound an alarm as a means of warning. One of the reasons why an alarm is sounded, and as I was listening to that story that Mr. August was telling us, and all the excitement and almost the chaos that was happening at that time, I'm thinking, that's kind of normal for Jerry, right? For the August house. But I thought I would say that. He knows what I'm talking about. We love Jerry, and he is. I appreciate his enthusiasm. Why does one sound an alarm? The church is hearing that message now, to alert everyone to the impending danger. That's why we sound an alarm. It's like, as we heard, a fire alarm or an air raid siren. What's the significance for us today? God's words shows us that these end times are going to catch many people, in fact, the whole world, by surprise. Will we be surprised? Will we be surprised? No, not if we are looking to that day for it to come and heeding the sound of the warning now. We want to be ready for the day of the Lord. So to take the title of the sermon from Joel chapter 2, verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion. And that's the title of today's message. Blow the trumpet in Zion. And this is to admonish and encourage you to be ready for the day of the Lord. The trumpet is both a warning, but it's also a sound of rejoicing. It is a warning, though, for us today and for the world to hear. We know when we look in the scriptures that the world is going to be in a terrible state before the day of the Lord. Before Jesus Christ returns, God's word clearly tells us this. And brethren, we don't have to look very far to see these things happening, that this world is heading toward a climax or a cataclysm. It's an unsustainable course. Scripture clearly tells us that there will be war and famine and disease epidemics and earthquakes. One disastrous occurrence after another will be shaking the world. And this is what Jesus Christ and the prophets call the Great Tribulation. Let's go to Matthew 24, where Jesus is prophesying of this time to come. The Great Tribulation, as he talks about in Matthew 24 and verse 21. Notice with me here what Jesus says. For then, verse 21 of Matthew 24, verse 21, there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. That time, brethren, a time of cataclysmic, earth-shaking, world-shaking events. And unless, Jesus Christ said in verse 22, those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And we could be assured of that, brethren, that those days will be shortened for us. Our salvation will come in that day. And it will seem at that time for men who are going through this cataclysm that it will be better to die than to live. It's a terrible thought to think that one would rather die than live and go through these things. They will say, as we read in the book of Revelation and elsewhere, to the mountains and the rocks, they'll say, fall on us and hide us from him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's Revelation 6. Verse 16, they'll be wanting to die and escape in that way from the things that are coming. A terrible thought for us to think about. When God, though, the Father, decides that it's time, he will send Jesus Christ to earth to save man from himself. And we know, brethren, from scriptures very clearly that when he appears, every eye will see him. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, verse 29, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then, verse 30, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven and all the tribes of the earth will mourn and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And for the world that day, brethren, it will be a day of mourning, as Christ says here. The earth will mourn in the day of that trumpet. There will be a sound of war. It will be, as Joel says in Joel 2, verse 2, we read, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. But for us who are eagerly waiting for that day and preparing in advance, it will not be such. It will be a day of rejoicing. As it says in verse 31, and he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds. This is our salvation appearing to us now. From one end of the earth to the other, they will be gathered. This is the time of God's direct intervention in the affairs of this world. And it, in Scripture, is called the Day of the Lord. And some Bibles capitalize that word day because it is a day. What a day or a time that will be. It includes, again, a series of cataclysmic events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ, when he will come and forcefully suppress mankind's rebellion against God. The Bible pictures this time as a blowing of trumpets, as it shows in Revelation 8 through 11. 8 through 11, we see, we don't need to turn there just as a reference for you, but 8 through 11 of Revelation, we see this time as a series of a blowing of trumpets as the day of the Lord comes. Now, this may sound, and it does sound, like a doom and gloom message to the world. And the world doesn't want to hear that. It's not a fitting message in our day of moral tolerance, of feel-good religion. But because of the sins of this world, God will come and call the world into account. He will call men into account for what they have done on this day. But our God is full of mercy and compassion, and we know He's had compassion on us, and He's brought us into right standing with God through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And now we could stand in that day and be confident that our salvation has come. But He is also a righteous and just God. He cannot compromise with evil. While the world has gone on for its millennia now, determining for itself right from wrong, refusing to repent and acknowledge the Creator God, God will now call the world into account on this day. And the religions of this world, they acknowledge God but deny His power. But soon the time is coming on this day, what this day represents, when God will bring the world to task for its sins. The time is coming when He will intervene by sending Jesus Christ to rule the nations and save humanity from destroying itself. So this day, this Feast of Trumpets, is a warning message for us and for the world. We don't need to fear if we heed the warning. Let's go over now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We don't need to fear if we hear the warning. We know that Jesus Christ is returning, and we have now answered that call. Answered the call, as we heard in the sermonette message. We've heard the sound of the warning and taken heed to it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2. You know perfectly well, verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians 5, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. But when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. So you can picture a woman in her labor wanting to be delivered and finally being delivered. And sudden destruction comes upon them as the labor pains of a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, verse 4, you are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief, because you have heeded the sound of the trumpet. God does not want to punish the world. He'd rather give us life and immortality through Jesus Christ. This is what He wants. But to give that to the world, He has to deal with the problem of the sin. He has to fix that problem, and this is what this day is going to represent, does represent, when Jesus Christ is coming to rule and call all men to task. But God did not appoint us to this punishment. He would want to give us immortality. Verse 9 here, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. This is what He wants for us, salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 9. That is what He wants. For God did not appoint us to wrath, for through Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. And therefore, the Scripture says, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. That's what we're doing today, edifying and comforting one another by going through these words and showing what God has planned for us. Salvation and glory with Him. If we're answering the call of the trumpet now, we know, brethren, without a doubt, the prophesied day of the Lord is coming. The trumpet will sound, and the saints will be raised from the grave, and Jesus Christ will return to establish His Father's kingdom on earth. That Feast of Trumpets today is the warning sound. But it also heralds a day of unspeakable joy. And look up in verse 16 of chapter 4 there in 1 Thessalonians, just above on my Bible. In verse 16 of chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, those who have gone before us in the faith. And then we who are alive, should we remain alive until that day, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, verse 17, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall ever be with the Lord. Therefore, again, we see these words, verse 18, comfort one another with these words. And we often use this scripture when we're at a funeral for someone, especially someone who had died in the faith. When we look at that life and what this person has gone through, how they've endured to the end, or for any person, really, when we think about death, we know God has a plan to fix even that. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That is quite comforting, brethren, to take the sting of death away, to understand that this is not the end, this is only temporary. What God has in mind and store for us is so much greater. And therefore, this day is a day of rejoicing as well as a day of warning. So we must be ready for that day. Be ready for that day. As also along with the sermonette we heard earlier, the blowing of the seventh trumpet announces the beginning of the kingdom of God. Come with me to a wonderful verse in Revelation chapter 11. It announces the coming of the kingdom of God, ruled by Jesus Christ as King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 15 of Revelation chapter 11. And then the seventh angel sounded of this series of trumpets in the book of Revelation. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is when, brethren, if we are ready for that day, if we are heeding now the sound of the trumpet, we will inherit rulership with Jesus Christ. Come over with me to Revelation chapter 20. That shows this also. Very familiar verse here. Also very comforting. Verse 4 of Revelation chapter 20. Telling us, assuring us of our reign with Jesus Christ. Verse 4 of Revelation 20, and I saw thrones, as John is describing this vision, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and who had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The millennium, which we're going to picture shortly with the Feast of Tabernacles coming up during this great season of ingathering. And then verse 5, the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection, referring to our resurrection at the return of Jesus Christ. But here in verse 5, when the rest of the dead live again, it's an indication of what God has in store. For all men to finally hear fully and completely the warning message and heed, take heed for it, to it. This is what it's talking about. The rest of the dead living again at the thousand after the 1,000 years are finished. And we know what that means as it's pictured in the last great day, culminating this great feast of ingathering. Blessed and holy, it says, verse 6, is he who has part in the first resurrection. This is the one that we want to be part of. Over such, the second death has no power. We'll never die. Immortality will be ours. What a wonderful day this is. No power the second death has over us, but they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What a glorious, glorious hope that we have, brethren. So we must be ready now for that day when it comes. Let's go to Luke chapter 12 and hear the instruction, really the warnings of Jesus Christ telling us to be ready for that day, to heed the sound of the trumpet. Luke 12, Luke 12 and verse 35. Be ready for that day. Verse 35 of Luke 12 of Jesus Christ tells us, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Of course, that means you have God's Spirit within you, and it is lighting your way, and you're walking in his way. And you yourselves, verse 36, be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that they may open to him immediately. Be ready for that day. What does it mean but to take heed to the warning? This is what it means. And make ourselves ready. We need to be careful that the cares of this life and the temptations of this world don't distract us from focusing on God's plan. We live in a world that we know is filled with deception and distractions. We're constantly being tempted. We can't let ourselves be drawn away and taken in. This Feast of Trumpets is like a wake-up call, as we heard again in the message earlier. It's a wake-up call for us to get ready now. Notice verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. Our master, our Lord Jesus Christ, will be with us now, and we will be sharing at his table. What a blessing this is, brethren, for us to be part of that. Blessed are those servants. So this means, again, that we're always on our guard, that we're making ourselves ready. We're not slipping away. We're not giving up. We're not turning back. That means we're keeping up our guard, not letting ourselves be fooled by a false message into a feeling of peace and safety. As the world will try to say, you know, when all these things are happening, oh, peace and safety, we're going to fix this. Blessed are those servants who are ready. And if, verse 38, notice, he should come, verse 38, if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, blessed are those servants. Yes, it might seem like it's taking a long time. It might seem that way. Life can get very challenging and hard. It's very hard sometimes to endure and to keep up our endurance. It might seem like a long time, but it is not. Time is short. The time is now for us to heed the warning. Our Christian forebears, those who went before us, thought the time was now for them. We know in the early church, in the first century church, we know that they thought Christ was returning soon. You might say they were in the first watch looking for him. Well, he didn't come in the first watch or the second watch or perhaps the third. And we know people down through the ages have been expecting Jesus Christ to return. And he has not yet returned. And that gives cause for some to give up and doubt, even mock. And the world keeps going along, and they think, well, all things are continuing as they always have. But, Christ says, verse 39, know this, verse 39, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. You must be ready. Therefore, you also, verse 40, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Heeding the message of the Feast of Trumpets means to be staying spiritually awake and alert. It means to be ready. Let's go to Luke chapter 21 now. A few more instructions and really warnings from Jesus Christ. This is a day of warning, but we're heeding these warnings if we're paying attention, if we're not letting ourselves fall asleep. Verse 34 of Luke 21. But take heed to yourselves. Verse 34 of Luke 21. Take heed. Don't lest your hearts become weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. In my Bible, I'm reading the New King James, that day is capitalized, the day of the Lord, which day, this Feast of Trumpets pictures. For it will come, verse 35, as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. They will be caught unawares. They will not have heeded the warning. Watch, therefore, verse 36, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. When all of this comes to pass, brethren, will we be standing in the day of Christ's appearing? The way we conduct our lives and the way we respond to this warning message determines that. Those who are upright in heart and blameless before God will be ready for that day. This holy day, brethren, is a wonderful reminder and an encouragement of our hope in Christ's return. We see these promises in Scripture and they are real. This is such great news. And such great news. Today, we are blowing them. The trumpet of warning, but also the trumpet of rejoicing. The message of this feast day is a great assurance to us. Wonderful assurance to help us keep our watch and be ready to keep our lights burning. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. As we prepare, this is what we must be doing. Titus chapter 2. We have the opportunity now, with the time that God has given us, to prepare and heed that warning. Titus 2 and verse 11. Titus 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It's appeared to us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. This is our escape. This is our plan of escape from this present age, to live like this, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, but live soberly, righteously, and godly. Looking, verse 13, for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that. That's what we're looking for, expecting, hoping for, praying for, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. This is our escape plan, brethren. Heed the warning. And live like this. This trumpet blast is a warning to us of the danger that is coming. Who will heed and be ready for the day of Christ appearing? We will, brethren. If we heed the message, if we stay awake, stay alert, and pray always to be accounted worthy to escape the horrendous end time events that this day also pictures, and then you will be able to stand before the returning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you will inherit your immortality in that day It will be a day of rejoicing unlike any other for us. Our salvation being completely fulfilled. So this day is also a day of tremendous rejoicing for us. Let's go to Psalm 81 and close with this psalm, a few verses here in Psalm 81. Let's notice what God is telling us here, that this day is also a day of tremendous rejoicing. In Psalm 81, in verse 1, we have several hymns that we sing that are centered right around this psalm. It's a wonderful day, a wonderful psalm picturing the joy that we have because of God's salvation. It says in verse 1, Psalm 81, "Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and shake the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon." This is now, brethren, at the full moon. And on our solemn feast day, we are blowing it today because it is a day of joy, of rejoicing. For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. Therefore, brethren, blow the horn and let Zion hear.